And we are back for the final episode of the 2011 Oscar Rewind podcast before we have our own awards ceremony here. I'm your host, Quentin Phillipson, and with me is my co-host, who is much better at giving speeches than Colin Firth, Andrea Tennis. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, but I'm not sure I'm better than him at giving speeches. I just don't have a stutter. I really was terrible in speech class, so.
Oh, so should they make a film off of you?
Yeah, they probably should. It gets pretty crazy. I get really anxious, so no. Yeah,
instead of King's Speech, it'd be College Student Speech.
Yes, yeah, that would be a good name for it.
Yeah, Best Picture winner coming up.
Hey, it would be. It'd be great.
Yeah, well, hey, if this could win Best Picture, I'm sure the rebooted College Student Speech will be just as successful.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Andrew, what's new going on in your life? Anything new before we dive into the Best Picture winner and the other nominee?
I got my hair dyed today, which it looks really purplish, and I'm really digging it. It looks really good. Pretty excited about that. And then I also got new contacts, which I've needed for quite a while. My new eye doctor was telling me how bad my old contacts were, and yeah, he's pretty much just shitting on him. He's like, you have wore the shit out of these. So I'm glad I got some new ones so I'm not blind anymore.
Wow, so Andrew's mother said your legs were fat, and now your eye doctor is saying your eyesight sucks. So today's just the roast of Andrea today.
Yeah, basically, everyone's just roasting me. Everyone should definitely take a shot.
Okay.
Grab a baseball bat. Right, just hit me.
Whoa. All right, I'll definitely take my shot later in the podcast then. I'll save mine up.
Cool. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's right. But yes, I'm very excited that you were able to get your eyesight figured out. This whole time, she'd even realize we were recording podcasts. She just thought we were sitting down on a table discussing openly the films we really like this year. I guess the year of 2010. So this is new news for Andrew. She didn't realize this was being recorded.
Yeah, first time. Wow.
Andrew's like, what is this big black thing in front of me? That might have a different connotation, but she's talking about the microphone.
You got it. You got it. I had no idea. It just looked like a big black dick. I'm kidding. Don't well, say that.
I didn't say it. You said it.
I mean, don't edit that out.
Don't edit it out? You got it.
No, do.
Oh. Well, we can move on to the two films, the two final films of the 2011 Oscar Best Picture nominations. We've already went through the first eight. We got the last two here, and it's the two big ones, the ones that really swept the awards here. We have The Social Network and the Best Picture winner itself, King's Speech. So we tend to always go with whatever film we saw first, which in this case is The Social Network. We'll end with the Best Picture. That'll be the final note here. So let's go on to The Social Network. Andrew, have you seen this film before?
No, I've never seen this. This is the first time. I was actually really excited to watch this, considering Jesse Eisenberg is the lead and we both really like him. I really liked him in Zombieland, and I tried to watch Adventureland with him. Not as good, but he's still a great actor. I like the character that he plays typically.
I agree with you. I remember when I was a child, I was a huge Jesse Eisenberg fan. Around 2010 was peak Eisenberg, for me at least. As a child, Zombieland was the coolest film ever. Probably back in the day, the film I've seen the most, and maybe still today, I've seen that film at least 40 to 50 times when I was young, because it was the only film I owned on iTunes. So every time I left the house, I would just watch it. I'd be like, all right, well, I got nothing else on my iPad. Might as well watch Zombieland for the 20th time. Now, I remember I knew the whole script of that film, and Eisenberg was my favorite, even though Tallahassee is obviously the funniest. I thought Columbus, Eisenberg, he carried the film, and so that was 2009. So obviously 2010, I hear that there is a film about Facebook with Eisenberg as the lead, and I was sold. I was super into it, and even as a kid, I thought this was a great movie, probably just because it had Eisenberg in it. I was just like, oh my gosh, it's my friend from Zombieland. making Facebook. That's my 2010 Quentin impression.
That's what I was about to say. That's a very, very nice impression there.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I sounded like. And even the year after, I believe 2011 was when the film 30 Minutes or Less came out, which was his next film. And even then I was like a huge fan, despite it being a relatively horrible film. I was on the Jesse train for a few years at this point. And I saw this pretty early on when it came out. I don't believe I watched it in theaters. I believe we watched it as soon as it came out for rental because my family was poor. But we definitely watched it as soon as we could. I was a big fan. And, you know, I think it still holds up. I still think it's a great film, probably for different reasons. I wasn't watching this film this time being like, oh my gosh, Jesse Eisenberg, my hero. I was watching it thinking, wow, what a great cast, what a great score, what a great story. So, you know, different reasons.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree with you. This movie is all around great. The cast was phenomenal. I think everyone was really good, even though Jesse Eisenberg played a completely different character than I've ever seen him play before. The storyline was great. Also, just because it's based on a true story, and I am a sucker for true stories.
All right, so we can kind of nitpick each of the different things that this film was nominated for. We'll go through the list right now, though. Obviously, it was nominated for Best Picture. It was also nominated for Sound Mixing, Directing, Cinematography, and Lead Actor. And it won Adapted Screenplay, Score, and Editing. So it walked away with three big wins here. And so we'll start with the acting first. I feel like that's the most noteworthy thing here. And that was Jesse Eisenberg being nominated for Best Actor. Well, what was your thoughts on that?
Jesse was really good, but he wasn't a character I really liked. And I know he was supposed to be super unlikable, not a character that you root for, but I don't know. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't like that he was the bad guy. I'm so used to being like him being the sweet, nice guy, you know, really laid back, kind of a pushover. And he definitely took on a different role. At least now we know he can act from two different sides of the spectrum, because before he kind of looked a little one-sided as an actor.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you said you seemed very one-sided, because I believe until 2010, a comparison that I heard a lot was Jesse Eisenberg and Michael Cera. They fit the same niche role of nerdy, socially awkward kid, and I felt like 2010, both of them came out with their best performance of all time. Michael Cera was in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which was great. And I thought he kind of outshined his normal roles of being like the nerdy kid. He was still pretty nerdy in that role, but he also became this badass and this hilarious character. And Jesse Eisenberg was in Social Network, obviously, was still the weird, socially awkward nerd, but he was also kind of like this manipulative, horrible person. So they both took their roles that they're normally doing, that they're normally compared with, and they kind of, one went left, one went right on the path of nerdy loser kid into a different kind of genre for both of them. And to this day, they both peaked at 2010. This is their best roles they both had in my mind.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that as well. I can't really think of any other films that they were both in that I could say were better than these two films.
Now, I just watched Superbad pretty recently. Michael Cera is good in that, but
it's the same role he always plays.
Yeah, it's just, it was nothing special to his role there. I think Jonah Hill was a standout in that film. There's a few other standouts. It's just an iconic film, so people think that's his big role. For me, his big role is definitely Scott Pilgrim. I thought he was so good in that film. And as much as I love Zombieland, I've seen it at least 40 times, Jesse Eisenberg blows this film out of the water. This is definitely his biggest film. I believe the only film he ever gets an Oscar nomination for. This is his only one.
Well deserved, definitely. Yeah. I think he's good in Zombieland, but he's nothing crazy awesome.
Oh, no, yeah, nothing Oscar noteworthy. It's just a fun comedy.
No, not
he fits the genre well. I kind of wish he did more films like this. He tried to, once again, come back into popularity during Batman v Superman. I don't know if you're aware of this. Nope. But he was the main villain, Lex Luthor.
Oh, wow.
And it was supposed to be the biggest DC film at the time, but it flopped horribly. Everybody hated the film, and one of the biggest criticisms was his version of Lex Luthor. So I kind of felt like that was his one big shot to come back into popularity, and it kind of crashed down for him. Aww. So I don't know if we'll ever see him in a big film again. I feel like this is it for Jesse Eisenberg. And you know what? He has a great legacy. I think this is a great film. I'm with you that, yeah, he's a huge dick. I forgot how horrible of a person he was until we watched it again. And I guess the child in me was just, I didn't give a crap what he did to all these people. I was like, oh, he's my friend from Zombieland. But no, he really is a horrible human being in this film, which I liked. I feel like it was good to have the protagonist be such a bad person. We're used to having such a heroic figure as the lead. That is interesting to have the lead be a horrible person and the people around him, like the antagonist. Like, his antagonist is Andrew Garfield, but he's the hero of the film, right? Like, he's the foil to his story.
Yeah, and I was 100% on Andrew Garfield's side. 100%. I felt so bad for the guy. Just Jesse Eisenberg really just messed with him in this movie, and I 100% not fair. And then it just goes back to, like, this is actually a true story. This actually happened to two guys. It blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes the film so powerful, is the fact that this really happened, and it happened to such a well-known company, Facebook. Mm-hmm. If this was a story about some small social media app that nobody even really heard of, wow, that's a pretty crazy story that this is real. No, this is real to one of the biggest social media platforms out there. Like, that's something everybody knows, everyone relates to. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I think I would still say today it's close to one of the top performing platforms still, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, we have TikTok, and we have Twitter, and we have Instagram, but Facebook's always going to be up there. Everyone of all ages has Facebook now, so.
And because it's still so well known as a company, this film ages so well. It becomes, in my opinion, more and more powerful because the site is still so successful that it really makes you realize how screwed over that guy was. This could have been, he could have been rich to his wildest dreams. But yeah.
Yeah, that really sucks. I feel really bad for that guy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's why I had to double check my phone here to check the notes. Because I was shocked that Andrew Garfield didn't get Best Supporting Actor nomination.
He should have. He was literally so good.
I might argue he should have won this year. He had one of the best performances.
Who was up for this year?
The winner was Christian Bale for The Fighter.
It's hard because he did do really well in that role. Like, he definitely, did you say he wasn't even nominated, or was he nominated?
No, he wasn't even nominated.
That's sad, yeah.
The other nominees was John Hawks from Winter's Bone.
Ooh, we have to have John Hawks in there. Jeez, he was in the movie so much.
And then Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right. And we'll later get into it, but Joffrey Rush for The King's Speech.
Joffrey Rush was the speech therapist?
Yeah. So good nominee.
He has to stay on there. I really like that guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen the film. I haven't seen The Town, which was the fifth nominee, so I can't weigh in on that. But, you know, definitely feel like Andrew Garfield was better than Winter's Bone. And as much as I like Mark Ruffalo, I felt like Garfield was better.
He was better than both of those. And, you know, I love Mark Ruffalo, but yeah, Andrew Garfield definitely had him beat. Going into this for me.
Yeah, I felt like Jesse Eisenberg was the core of the film. He was, everything was revolved around him and he was great, but Garfield was the heart. Like, he really made this film as powerful as it was. Obviously, the speech that Andrew's never seen this film, but she saw the clip of him losing his mind on Eisenberg when he was screwed over.
Yeah, I had to watch it for one of my accounting classes I had to take at school, and it was just so powerful, even just watching that small part of the movie before I'd actually even seen the entire thing. Garfield just pulls at your heartstrings too. Like, you feel so awful for this guy.
Yep. And then when they were in the courtroom and they were asking him, how much did Zuckerberg lose? 0%. How much did this person lose? 0%. And they go down the line, and then it goes to him. And they're like, how much did you go down? And he goes, 0.03% is what I got down to. And it was just such a powerful moment. How no one else got impacted by it. This guy got totally screwed. So, yeah, it's a wild story.
And also in this film, Justin Timberlake's character, I did not like him either. He was a bad guy, and I think he really influenced Jesse Eisenberg's character in a really bad way.
Yeah, and he was great as well. Definitely weaker than the other two performances, I think. His character was very one-dimensional. Kind of just pops in. He's like the villain that's twirling his invisible stash. Like, I'm going to ruin these best friends. Like, he's just very, like...
He's so proud of himself, yeah, too.
He's just... This,
it's sickening. Yeah. He's literally sickening. He almost makes me more sick than Eisenberg did during this film.
Yeah, he was definitely worse than Eisenberg just because he was just so one-sided. I'm the bad guy. At least Eisenberg, you know, Zuckerberg's character had some redeeming qualities, maybe. You know, at least I understood a bit of his motives, unlike Justin Timberlake's guy. He kind of just popped in and was a massive dick. So, really, the only likable person from this was Garfield. I guess we can discuss the overall story here to fill anybody in. It's relatively simple, but I really liked the setup here where he gets broken up by this girl because he's so arrogant and rude and kind of, he's very demeaning towards people. He really thinks he's the shit. And so he gets broken up, and to retaliate, he creates this site where everybody can rank all the girls in Harvard. And obviously, because of that, it kind of goes viral. He then gets two brothers pitching an idea to him about creating Facebook or something similar to it. And he takes that, he steals that idea from them. Kind of a minor storyline, but you know, just to show you how bad he is, he steals that idea from them, creates Facebook himself with his buddy Garfield. And the two of them kind of run this huge social media app called Facebook. The brothers are trying to sue him. He screws them over. Then screws Garfield over. He tries to sue him. And at the end of the day, nobody has any money except for Zuckerberg. He's got it all. It's like this kingpin storyline. It's basically Walter White in 2 hours. It's just this little kid at the beginning working all the way up to top. And it ends with him sending a friend request on the Facebook app to the girl that left him at the beginning of the film. I felt like it tied in really well. And I felt like the pacing for this film was pretty well done. I don't know about you, Andrea, but for me, I don't think I was bored this whole 2 hours. It was the longest film of all these nominations. And I felt like it was so fast paced with the constant people getting screwed over.
Yeah, no, there really wasn't a moment where I felt like overly bored. But like you said, one of my favorite parts, and I'm glad you brought it up, was the fact that the girlfriend breaking up with him at the beginning was tied together at the very end. He still gets his karma. He never got the girl. And, you know, I don't even feel bad for him because she's right. He was a true asshole. No matter what anyone says, he was terrible.
Which is why I thought her completely tearing this guy apart at the restaurant in front of everybody was a really great scene, because Zuckerberg doesn't really lose in this film. He wins out in everything. Mm-hmm. He beats out every single person professionally in getting this app. He always finds loopholes. He's always able to manipulate what's going on. He's a very intelligent man, and he pretty much comes out on top in every aspect except for this one scene. He is extremely successful because he's still intelligent, but I felt like that scene was really important to show you. You know what? It doesn't matter how many people you screw over and how much money you win. you're just not a good dude, and this woman will never respect you. And I thought that was a really great scene. Even though Garfield wasn't there, I'm sure he would have loved to see that scene himself. You know, just to note, Zuckerberg, he doesn't, you know what? He wins a lot, but he doesn't win everything.
Yeah, yeah, I like at the end, especially when they do true stories about what happened after. And I was really happy that basically it seemed like everyone won their lawsuits against him. They all got at least something back. I mean, it doesn't make up for everything, but at least they did get something back that Zuckerberg stole from them.
Yeah, like they win like some money back. They definitely, I wouldn't say that's winning because they would have made so much more.
No, I know. But at least they got something. Right. Like I'm trying to just look at the positive side.
Okay, that's good. Thinking positively. I like it. Yeah, everyone wins at the end, including us because we got to watch that film.
Yes.
Yes.
100% win.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what Angie was thinking. After the film was over, she's like, I won! I gotta watch Social Network.
Yeah, I was so pumped. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, do we want to discuss anything about the film that really stood out before we move on to the King's Speech? Any other acting nods? Anything special you really liked? Oh, I guess we can discuss, what was your favorite scene from the film? Or your favorite moment?
Well, there was, I kind of already said my favorite one. My favorite one was how they tied the movie together from beginning to end with the girlfriend and her breaking up, calling him an asshole. And then at the end, yeah, him just not that in the sound though, but yeah.
Yeah, a well-deserved screenplay win. I'm glad it won the screenplay because yeah, the pacing, the script, very well done. It's very smart the way that they had the dialogue. And I know the joke is tossed around a lot. I said to Andrea that this must have been the biggest script in the world because Zuckerberg speaks so quickly in this film. And there's just so much dialogue in this film that it must be the thickest script ever.
Yeah, that's right. You were like, he's going to talk really fast. So you might miss some of the stuff that he's saying.
Yeah, he does talk very fast. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I missed a few of the things he was saying. Be surprised if anybody didn't. Subtitles would be wild. It'd be half the screen would be words because they go through it so fast.
Jeez, I don't even think you could keep up if there were subtitles. Not at all.
Yeah, for me, we also discussed the scene. I guess we've discussed all the solid ones here, but definitely the one clip you saw in class where Garfield comes in and smashes the laptop to get him unplugged. What a great scene where he just absolutely loses it on Eisenberg, as he should. It's just such a great scene. It really shows you all three of them have epic one-liners, quips, moments in the scene. As much as I'm not a huge Justin Timberlake fan in this film, even he got a few great quips. I feel like all three of them were at their prime in this scene. I felt like they had them all snort a line of cocaine before they did the scene because they were a rapid fire. They were not holding back any punches. I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, out of all three of them, I think that Andrew stood out more, that was 100% his scene for the entire movie. But I mean, the other two are good as well.
Right. Like I felt like the whole film, okay, yeah, Garfield should get a nomination for Best Supporting Actor. He did really well. And then that scene comes and you go, no, he should possibly win. Like, that is a great acting job. Like, that was a great scene. Definitely the climax of the film. So, no, I agree. Yeah, that was Garfield's scene for sure. And maybe that's why I like it so much, because that was his best scene and he was the best character. What would be your least favorite scene of this film?
I don't. I know that we needed this scene to set it up, but I really didn't like the scene where he made the site about ranking the girls from Harvard, and he also used Garfield just to do that. That was really distasteful. Just the fact that I feel like this whole film he's using Garfield. Garfield's supposed to be one of his best friends in this film, and he uses him to the max, like. Poor guy. It made me feel awful for the person in real life that actually took on, like, this actual person.
Yeah, it's definitely a hard scene to watch. I feel like most scenes where Garfield's getting screwed over is hard to watch, but I didn't have any issues with anything about the film. Yeah, I can't think of one scene that I didn't like. Like, even that scene, it's kind of just to set up what's going to happen in the rest of the film.
Yeah, that's what I said. I understand that you need a lot of the stuff just to set up what actually is going to happen in the long run.
Yeah, like that small little site where you rank all the girls, that the first, like, the whole 10-minute segment of that pretty much sets up exactly what's going to happen later in Facebook, where he uses Garfield, he uses other people's sites and ideas, he's very emotional when he made it.
Like, I didn't even care that he was using anyone else. I just really cared that he was using Garfield. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I just felt really connected to that character, that actor. But, like, I didn't really care that he used the twins. Like, they were stupid anyway. Why would you randomly give your idea to someone that's a lot smarter than you?
Yeah.
Without making them sign, like, legal documents to where they couldn't steal your idea. They weren't smart at all.
Exactly. I feel like that's why we aren't talking about it as much. And that's why it's more of the secondary storyline for this film is you don't feel as bad for the twins here. You just every time it cuts back to them, you're kind of like, I don't really care what happens to these guys.
It was such a weak storyline. And I understand that's what actually happened. Yeah. But it was so weak. And they're just idiots. That's all there really is, and Zuckerberg should have totally stole their idea because they weren't thinking.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say you should steal someone's idea because they're an idiot.
Well, no, but I get why he did what he did.
You just don't feel as bad because the entire time you're watching this, you're like, yeah, you guys are really making a mistake here. At least for Garfield, the entire time you're thinking, oh, yeah, he's like, you don't see the mistakes that's going on until you get screwed. You're like, oh, crap. He's getting screwed over. Like, you see the twins' downfall as soon as it starts. The first scene, you're like, oh, yeah, these guys are making a bad deal here. So I think that's the difference. We see the downfall very early on, so the entire time we're not that invested in it. I loved the twins and Garfield. They were both screwed over because they weren't emotionally disconnected from this. Zuckerberg saw Facebook and saw this entire thing as an investment, as a way to make as much money as possible. He is just very calculated, while the twins, you know, they put too much trust in them. And I also thought that's why I kept showing them working out and doing the rowing competition, is because it was just showing this wasn't a priority for them. They just had so much going on in their life that this was just one thing for them. But they had rowing, they had other activities, and because they were too busy rowing and they had the celebration in the mansion to celebrate getting second place for the rowing competition, because they had so many things going on, they didn't even notice, wow, he's taking this idea from him. They didn't even find out that Zuckerberg stole the idea until a buddy of theirs told them while they were training. That's just how disconnected they are from what's going on. They weren't focused on one thing, and that was their flaw. And then Garfield's flaw, which is a harder flaw to be angry at, is that he thought that their friendship was worth more than the money.
He trusted him fully, and he thought what they had was real, and it seemed like in like the storyline they'd been friends for a really long time for Zuckerberg just to decide this friendship wasn't worth it.
Yeah, which is why, as a viewer, it's a lot easier to be like, oh, well, rowing's not as important as Facebook. Oh, well, you guys should have set your priorities straight. While Garfield, it's a little harder to be like, well, obviously $1 million is worth more than your friendship. Because everybody has friends, and it's something you connect to more emotionally. You know, I don't know how many rowers out there are watching this film. So I feel like that's why it was easier to connect with.
That's fair.
But I felt like the film did a good job showing all their flaws, where you see right from the start, Garfield just kept, without even asking questions, handing out money to help out, which is a nice dude, but, you know, it's a flaw when it comes down to the business. So Zuckerberg, he came out on top. Mm-mm-mm. All right. So do you think this film deserves to be nominated for Best Picture, Andrea? I know you weren't as big of a fan of this film as me, so how high are you on it?
I was trying to think of, like, my star rating for Letterboxd, where I would try to, or where I would put this. And, you know, like, it was a good film. The storyline was great. It was based on a true film. The casting was perfect. And I think, I honestly, I'm thinking I'd probably give it a 4-star. Yeah, I think it deserves 4 stars. And I think any less would probably be an insult to this film.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so too. I was shocked that it's only a 3.8 on Letterboxd. That does, it just feels low. I feel like, who gives it less than a 4? It just seems like such a overall well-done film. Mm-hmm. So I love it. From my point of view, I'm debating between a 4.5 and a 5. I just really love the film. You know, probably nostalgia as well. When I was a kid, I thought it was a great film. So obviously now I'm looking back on it and going, yeah, that is a great film. So that could have a hand in it. Yeah, obviously, I think it goes without saying on my end. Definitely deserves to be nominated. I would even argue it deserved to win. But I guess we can get right into the winner itself, King's Speech. So, Andrew, what were your thoughts on King's Speech here, the Best Picture film?
You know, I feel like this film gets a lot of hate. And I don't really know why. I didn't think it was that bad. I think you, for this film, you said either you really like it or you really hate it. And that's fine. I felt like I said on the side where I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. I get it. The storyline might have not been as like interesting or intense as other storylines. But the casting was good. I was really, really a huge fan of King George and Lionel. I really loved their friendship. It really made me happy. I think I even teared up a couple times. Just like, I thought their friendship was so sweet because it went so back and forth. Just because I think the king was used to pushing everyone away in his life because he had this stuttering issue. Overall, though, it kept me interested. I know for you, it was opposite. It wasn't as interesting. So I know you won't be ranking this one as high.
Yeah, honestly, I saw this when it came out as well. And as a child, I remember not liking this film at all. I thought probably of all the nominees I did watch, I probably thought this was the worst one. Just as a child, I just didn't connect to it. So it's a lot better on a rewatch. I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think it's a well-done film. I don't have any qualms or issues with it. I might have an issue with it winning. I don't think it was that great of a winner. Mostly just because I feel like it's a good feel-good film. It's kind of like Green Book from 2018, the winner of 2018, or some of those other films where you just watch it and at the end of it, you're like, wow, I feel really good about myself. You know what? That was a fun film. And I don't really feel like it has that much of an impact. I would argue Social Network or Black Swan would have been a much more powerful Best Picture winner.
I would, yeah, no, I love Black Swan. I think that would have been the Best Picture winner for me. I don't know if a lot of people would agree with that, but Black Swan was by far my favorite one that we watched.
Well, we'll get into it, I guess, next week. But yeah, I think Black Swan or Social Network would have been the two for me that I felt like were really powerful films and would have stood the test of time. I feel like Social Network has stood the test of time with some of its designs and score and acting. And this film, it has kind of faded now. I guess we can discuss its legacy. It's been 10 years now. I don't really think anybody talks about this film. It's probably one of the lesser talked about Best Picture winners from this decade, at least.
The top comment on Letterboxd, which I thought was, it's hilarious, but it's sad at the same time, was talking about how someone saw the King's Speech in the $5 bin at Walmart.
Yeah, because it kind of just faded away.
Yeah, like honestly, if we weren't doing this, I would never have watched this movie in 100 years. You would not have got me interested, especially since you kept saying, oh, I watched this as a kid and it was god awful. I was not looking forward to watching this at all. So it was kind of it was a pleasant surprise for me.
It was a pleasant surprise for me. I really liked the film. I think the acting is underrated. I think the acting is great. I think the costume designs, and I think the set is gorgeous. The production design, or I guess back in 2011 Oscars, it would be the art direction, which got nominated for and didn't win, But I thought it was gorgeous. I love that kind of appeal and aesthetics for it. I thought the camera work was great.
That's what I was going to say. The camera work was so well done in this. They had some really nice shots.
Yeah, the camera work was really nice. I would need to have a rewatch to confirm this, but the feeling that I got from it is whenever Rush, or I guess Joffrey Rush, whenever he was speaking, or whenever we showed Colin Firth speaking to the microphone with the headset on, or whenever he was talking, normally the camera would be a normal straight shot, but whenever he was stuttering or he was feeling uncomfortable, it would always be like a sideways shot, so it'd feel more like empty space and awkwardness. And I felt like just the camera work kind of just showed you how he was feeling and how he was stuttering and how it affected him. I felt like he kind of got connected emotionally to what was going on. So the camera work was beautiful. Overall, it's a good film. I like it. Probably my biggest issue is it isn't anything spectacular. It isn't anything special, right? Like, Social Network's such a great script, such a great storyline. Black Swan is such a great visual cinematic experience. The cinematography is gorgeous. King's Speech, it is very Green Book-esque. I do think it's better than Green Book. Mm-hmm. But it's very Green Book-esque where, it's just, at the end of the day, you just like it because you feel happy. Which, for films, especially for Oscar films, it works well. A lot of Oscar winners we'll be discussing over these years, a lot of them are going to just be, I feel happy when I watch it.
Yeah, no, I really agree. This film did make me feel happy at the end. I was just kept going on about what a great friendship they had and the fact it was based on a true story. Yeah, I was a huge fan.
Which is the opposite of Social Network. You don't feel very happy afterwards.
No, not at all. Not at all. And it kind of set the mood for me a little.
Yeah, probably why King's Speech won over Social Network. I'm sure if the viewers were watching them and going, well, feel really bad for Garfield now compared to, wow, Colin Firth, he did it. He did a speech. That's really powerful. You feel great. I'm not, this isn't me mocking it. I felt great afterwards. I went, wow, great speech. I feel so happy. And so I guess we can set the storyline here. That's pretty much what this whole film is about. Colin Firth is the King George, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he is the king. His father, spoiler alert, passed away, and he is now going to be the one that has to deliver this big speech, but he has a stuttering issue, and it's something he needs to get worked on by a voice specialist, Joffrey Rush, who is helping him out, and it is a very slow burn film. It's almost 2 hours, I believe, of him just learning how to do one speech, so might be my biggest qualm. I felt like they could have cut it a little bit. It did seem kind of long at times, but overall, it's just a really good film. I liked it. I had a good time. I really can't shit on it that much.
I think the reason that it didn't really bother me that it was a little dragged at points was just because the camera work was so good. Something which just kept me interested, on scene.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of camera shots and camera work. I love one-shot takes. I just love the way cameras can tell the story. So that was definitely my favorite part as well. I loved it. Definitely, if I was ever disinterested in the storyline, I was just looking at what cool techniques they were using. And the story connected to me pretty well. I used to have a stuttering issue as well when I was a kid. So watching it did seem very similar to me when I was a kid. I don't know why I didn't connect to it when I was actually a kid and I watched this.
Were you stuttering then or before that?
Before that.
Oh.
I was stuttering when I was in grade 1 and 2.
Mm.
And so, similar to this where he was getting picked on by people. Elementary school, I got picked on quite a bit for my stuttering. And I took some vocal lessons just for a little bit and I kind of got it figured out. And now I like to do speeches at school. That was my favorite thing. So, I'm kind of like the king.
Yeah. You do like to talk and I don't. And that's what made me feel so sad about this. Growing up, they talked about how his brothers would pick on him, how, he thought he was the least favorite. And then when his father passed away, he made a comment that he was the most proud of him or something, I thought. He made some comment about him, and he was kind of shocked, which is really sweet. There are a lot of sweet moments in this film for me.
It's just a huge feel-good film, so they try to throw as many sweet moments as they can. Do you know who directed this film? Before you look at it.
Was it Tom Hooper? Hooper.
Yes, and the main reason I'm asking is, do you know what else Tom Hooper has directed?
No, I have no idea what else he has directed.
Take a wild...
Was it The Favorite?
No, I was going to say, don't get too excited. He directed a well-known film from 2019, so last year, the year that we were watching quite a bit of film.
Was it 1917?
No.
I have no idea what it was. I'm not going to guess it.
He directed Cats.
Oh, Jesus.
So he's only directed like three or four films. And one of them is a Best Picture winner.
And one King's of them Speech. Is Cats.
The Ugh. Other one is Cats.
Wow. Poor guy.
Yeah, so, you know, I think because of Cats, now this film is even less highly regarded. I feel like a lot of people are like, why did this even win? This is the Cats director. So, yeah. Definitely not a classic Tom Hooper.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy. So, we'll quickly go over what this film was nominated for and won. It was nominated for sound mixing as well. Score, editing, costume, cinematography, art direction, supporting actress, supporting actor... And it won original screenplay, directing, lead actor, and of course, best picture. So it was nominated for the most awards, definitely. Oh. I believe one. It was nominated for 12 awards total. It won 4 of them.
Wow.
So, you know, it was the big hitter of this year. So let's go to the acting area here. So the supporting actress, what do you think of Helena Bonham Carter in the film?
She was good. She was a very supportive wife no matter what. And, you know, she made me feel good because I thought she actually, you know, she really loved King George, even with his stutter. And they had this whole scene where she really wanted a common life and she didn't want to, you know, be a queen. But then, like, she met him and she was like, well, you know, we could still have that. And I don't know. I just found her very, very enduring, especially when he was giving his big speech. You could see her all tense in her chair because she was so nervous that he was going to mess it up. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, no, I thought she was great. I thought all the acting was done pretty well. It's definitely hard to compare her to the other two who were just so much more prominent in the film.
Who else was it?
Well, the supporting actor and lead actor.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, like, she didn't have as much screen time, but overall, I thought she was a solid character.
Yeah, I like what she brought to the film. Mm-hmm. I believe this is the only film she gets... an Oscar nomination for, similar to Jesse Eisenberg. I don't believe she's done anything else too award worthy. She's been in, if you're looking here, she's a well-known character in Harry Potter. As you can see, she's in a bunch of those. So, you know, I guess 2010 was her big year since she was in King's Speech, the Alice in Wonderland film, and I believe Harry Potter also had a film that year. So she was in quite a few. I wonder how she's doing now. I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, me either.
Maybe she's just living that common life like you were saying. She's just finally settled down, just living that normal life she wanted.
Aw. She was also in Fight Club. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but that's not 2010.
Oh, that's fair.
So we can talk about the supporting actor here. I think one of the bigger roles of the film, and probably one of the best parts, was Geoffrey Rush's character as the voice specialist, the one helping the king out with his speech.
Big fan. Big fan. I love that guy. I don't know how the king was so mean to him in some of the scenes, but he was really just trying to help him out the whole time. And whenever he found out that he wasn't actually a licensed therapist, like, I thought they were going to have it out for a minute, but then he still stood up for the guy. So, I don't know. It was really good. He probably was my favorite part of this film.
Oh, for you, definitely. I thought he was fine, but man, sitting next to Andrew with this film was hilarious. She was the biggest Geoffrey Rush fan there was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time the king was mean to her, every time the king was mean to him, Andrew was like, "Oh, you leave my boy Rush alone."
It was good. I don't know. I think it maybe he had like kind of like a fatherly, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. My one, not like a fatherly appearance, but like he just felt fatherly, if that makes sense. And I don't know.
He did have kids.
That's true. You did have two.
Yeah. No, you killed me. Oh, you're such a big Rush defender there.
I was. I like the guy. He was so good. And I like the fact that he just never gave up on the king. Like, he was 100% there to support him and help him, no matter how much King George pushed back.
Yeah, no, he was probably the best. Colin Firth was great too. I guess it's between the two. I thought they were both fine. Like, they were both great. I wasn't like loving the performances. I thought Garfield was better in Social Network than Rush, but Rush was definitely one of the best supporting acting nominations of the year. He was really great. And yeah, he definitely stood on his own there, especially with Andrew backing him up.
That's right. I had my boys back.
Yeah. So speaking of the big meanie weenie Colin Firth, the king that always picked on your boy, what do you think of his acting performance? The, dare I say, lead acting winner.
Wow. Colin Firth. You know, he was good. He had to do the whole stuttering, and I feel like as an actor, you have to be pretty damn good to make that believable. I thought he did great overall. I could not have in 100 years pulled off the how he stuttered, and he looked like he was all tense, and yeah, I could never have done that.
No, I agree with you. I thought Colin Firth was really great. And as much as I loved Jesse Eisenberg, I thought Colin Firth, with the stuttering, with everything, it felt so real. Mm-hmm. You really connected with him, and he definitely, You emotionally connected with his struggles, even if you aren't stuttering right now. Neither of us are stuttering, but we still connected with what he was doing. So, as much as I love Social Network, as much as I love my boy Jesse, I'm sure 2010 Quentin is throwing his fists at me right now, but I would definitely say Colin Firth was probably the better lead actor. I felt like, you know, pretty well deserved. I thought he was great. So, we can move on to, what was your favorite scene from this film, if you had one?
Gosh, I had so many favorite scenes. I would probably just go with the very end when he actually did deliver the speech, because that's what we're really working up to in this movie, is this big speech at the end, and you just see how everyone's so tense because they're scared he's going to stutter, and he's not going to be able to get through it. And then Rush is just there, doing their exercises, and he gets through it, and you finally like breathe like a sigh of relief at the end. I felt that at least.
Yeah. The speech was fine. I'll be honest with you. It wasn't as good of a speech as I thought it was going to be.
What were you expecting?
I thought he wouldn't stutter. He was still stuttering a little. He was nervous.
He didn't stutter. He took breaks in between. That's what he taught him to do, is take breaks.
That's true. He took very long breaks. So, for me, I think my favorite scene was one of the first vocal lessons where he records on the microphone with the headset on. I thought that was just a really fun scene, and you knew he was gonna do great with the headset on so he couldn't hear himself, so you knew what was gonna be built up to. I liked that. I thought that was a very fun scene, and one of the first times we saw the two actors be in the room together, which was fun. Least favorite scene? I don't know. Probably like My least favorite was every scene being like 5 minutes too long every time. I felt like every scene near the end, I was like, alrighty, are we gonna move on from this? Or no? Okay. All right. I guess we'll just keep watching this.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I didn't really have like a not favorite scene, but if I had to say, like you said, like I feel like they showed some of the scenes with Rush and his sons. I didn't really think they needed those all the time. And I felt like they were just kind of like filler.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely felt like some of the scenes weren't really needed. Yeah. So, do you think this film deserves to be nominated for Best Picture? We're not even discussing whether or not we think it deserves to win, but do you think it deserved at least a nomination?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought this was in the better half of the best pictures that we watched.
No, I agree with you. Definitely deserves to be nominated. It's one of the top 10 films of the year, for sure. Now, I guess we'll discuss if we think it deserves to win when we do next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later. But let's kind of compare the two films here, because they got a lot of similarities here. The first one is the editing nominations. Both of them were nominated for editing. Social Network was the one that won. So which one did you think Social Network had the better editing, or do you think King's Speech was a bit underrated?
You know, I think Social Network probably did take it. The editing was really good. The flow of the story never did not make sense. Like, it always fit together perfectly. So I would probably go Social Network.
Yeah, for me it's definitely Social Network. Mostly because Social Network is the longer film, but I felt like King's Speech dragged more at times. So I felt like the editing for Social Network was super clean. I never once felt like, that seemed like a weird scene or a weird shot. But both of them overall had good editing. I can't really knock either of them down here. How about the score? Once again, both were nominated for score, but it was Social Network that came out on top with the score. Did you think that was the superior score, or what was your thoughts on King's Speech?
Honestly, I thought they both had good scores. I know that I think you said the score was more like techno-ish in the Social Network, right? And the King's Speech, I don't know. Honestly, I don't really remember the score. That one, I just remember the Social Network. So maybe right there saying something that I probably would have picked Social Network for that as well.
That's so funny, because that's exactly what I was about to say. Social Network was very innovative. As I was telling Andrea, I believe, don't quote me on this, it was one of the first films to have a complete score based off of just like technology. Like, there wasn't a bunch of instruments being used, a big ensemble cast of musicians to play the score. It was just purely technology where they were making the score. And it did feel very exciting. I love the score. It's probably one of the more iconic scores of this decade. I think it's a really good one. And the King's Speech, we watched it more recently, but I kind of forget the score. I'm sure it was good. And I'm sure in the film I liked it.
I feel like it was good too. I don't know why I can't remember it at all.
But this film was nominated for score and Black Swan wasn't. And I still remember that.
Yeah.
Black Swan was so good.
We were so like confused on why that wasn't nominated.
I looked into it. I heard that is because it isn't technically a score, since it's previously used ballerina music that they twisted into a horror style genre music. So I guess it maybe doesn't fit the technical boundaries of what a score is. So maybe just logistically, it just didn't get the nomination. But I still remember that over the King's Speech. That is almost as good as Social Network. The music was great in that film. So
true.
Yeah, kind of a bummer about that one. But yeah, the King's Speech score is just like generic Victorian era style music, isn't it? I think
that must have been what it was. I can't think of the sound in my head, but I remember when he was about to give the speech, I'm pretty sure the music was pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't even remember what the score was, but I remember that was its big moment.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely think Social Network should have won. But let's go on to the cinematography nominations. Neither of them won. That honor went to Inception, I believe. But they were both nominated for cinematography. Which one did you think cinematically was better?
I think I'd go with The King's Speech for this one. I just really... Am I right when I say cinematography? That's like the background, right?
No, like the set would be art direction.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I really like the set in The King's Speech, whereas Social Network was just everyday things. I don't know.
But that's art direction, the set. Oh. So cinematography would be what we were talking about, the camera angles, the camera work that's done in the film. So King's Speech definitely wins. That was beautifully shot.
Okay, sorry. Sometimes I just get confused with, like, what is. Like,
No, all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the set would be art direction. And then cinematography would be, like, obviously 1917 went cinematography because it was a one-shot film, right? Like, just the use of camera work and how it's, yeah. And how it's, how it's filmed. So it's, like, it's the filming. So, for me, King's Speech was definitely the best. I might even argue it might have been better than Inception. I felt like the two of them were really neck to neck there for cinematography. I just love the camera work in that film.
Yeah, no, I like the camera work as well. I don't know for me if it would have beat Inception, but yeah. I guess it would have been
probably a hot take,
second place, but I don't think it would have beat Inception. They were pretty on top of it in that film.
Yeah, that's true. That was probably a hot take. My apologies, guys. All right, so let's go to screenplay nominations. Might be harder to compare the two of them because they both won their respective categories. King's Speech won original screenplay. Social Network won adaptive screenplay.
Wow.
So we got the two screenplay winners here. Yeah, I felt like they were both really solid screenplays. I would have to look at the other films, but I think they're both deserving winners. I'll have to see what other films were nominated for original screenplay. I feel like King's Speech, the screenplay wasn't anything spectacular. So maybe if there's another film that's in that category that deserves it more, I might be more on the edge on that front. But I think Social Network has a great screenplay. I think it's so quick. It's so smart. The dialogue's great. I think the pacing, like we said, with the girl in the first scene and the callback at the end, I feel like they really connected everything throughout. So I think the screenplay is great.
Yeah, I know. For Social Network, yeah, their screenplay was really good. And I almost wonder if that actually happened. Like, was that the whole thing that actually got everything started?
We'd have to look into it.
Oh, fair. I agree with you. I just like so.
All right, no problem. And then the final similarity here. We got the directing nomination. They were both nominated for directing. King's Speech, the director of Cats, also was the winner of Best Director. So,
you win some, you lose some. I mean, that's really all you can say for Tommy.
Tommy. Well, I think Tommy was good at directing. But I definitely think David Fincher's directing in Social Network was better. For me, at least. I thought they were both good. They were both worthy of the nomination. But, man, yeah. I thought the directing in Social Network was great. I also thought the directing in Black Swan was great as well.
Black Swan was the best.
just throwing that softball out there. But, you know.
And I'm throwing that hardball out there.
Whoa. But you know, good for Tommy, I guess, for being best director.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me, or do you think Tommy was better than David Fincher?
No, I think David Fincher was better. Definitely did it better with the Social Network.
All right. Well, what will you give King's Speech? We already discussed our rankings for Letterboxd. Follow me at Quentin Phillips on Letterboxd. You can follow Andrea at Andrea Lizard Emoji.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll keep this trend going until you switch the emoji.
I'll eventually switch the emoji, I'm sure.
So what will you give King's Speech here?
God, this is such a hard one. I don't know. I think right now I'm either going to say a 4.5 or a 5. I really liked it. The acting was great. Everything was good. I felt connected to it. And you'll notice with these podcasts, if I feel connected to something, I'm more likely to like it more.
That is fair. I didn't realize you connected so well with a king.
That's right. Isn't your name King Q?
King Q, that's right. That's what the girls call me in high school.
You wish.
Yeah. And all the guys called Andrea Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy.
I feel like me and you are completely reverse here. You gave Social Network a 4, and I gave it a 4.5, maybe a 5. And now you're giving that 4.5, maybe a 5, because I'm leaning towards a 4 here. I'm also kind of leaning towards a 3.5, but I definitely think I'm more towards a 4. I think it's a solid 4. And you're right, a lot of people give it a lot of hate. I don't get it. I don't think that's fair. I think it's a well-done film. I think it's similar to Green Book, where both of them are well-done, feel-good films that people look at and go, well, that should have won. It didn't do anything special. It just makes me feel good. Well, you know what? Sometimes the Oscar voters are like, you know what? I want to feel good. After Franco lost his arm in 127 hours, after Garfield lost millions and billions of dollars.
After Natalie Portman killed herself at the end.
After Jennifer Lawrence saw her father in this very shallow lake.
After they realized the kids actually weren't all right.
Oh, you're saying that title's a lie?
It is a lie, because really at the end, that film did not end well. I didn't really think about it. This is one of the only Best Picture winners of this year that was actually a feel-good film. Wow.
Yeah. After Andy said goodbye to Woody and Buzz.
Oh, no. But that was kind of happy, because then the little girl got the toys.
Yeah, it's a good thing they don't have Toy Story 4 where she just shits on Woody. Glad that didn't.
I don't think I'd want to see that.
Glad that didn't happen.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably the only feel-good film of the year.
Yeah. So I get why they gave it to The King's Speech. Nothing wrong with it.
True Grit's a feel-good film.
That's true. That one did make me feel good at the end.
Yeah, it's a happy even end. Though,
well, and the, it kind of was sad, because at the very end, then you find out that he's dead when she tries to go visit him.
Well, if you skipped that podcast because you didn't want to get spoiled on True Grit, gotcha!
Gotcha!
That is it for this podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks, I believe. We'll see.
Ooh, because we're going on vacation.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks to finally do the awards ceremony. I believe what I was thinking is we'll do a few awards. We'll do best actor and best actress. We won't do supporting. We'll lump the supporting and leads together. We'll just figure out, we'll determine our favorite from each year. We'll do best director, I'm thinking. Maybe best screenplay. We'll combine original and adaptive if you want. Up to you.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
And then finally have our personal best picture of the year. So we'll do a bit of a ceremony there, and then at the end of the ceremony, we will figure out what the next year of Oscar films we're going to be discussing. We'll do the three that we had last time, and since we drew one of mine, I'll throw in a new one, and we'll randomize the four again to see what the next year is.
Heck yes.
So, anything you want to say before we sign off? Are we going to dress up and have some champagne when we discuss the award ceremony?
Yeah, let's do it. Get fancy.
Yeah, real fancy.
Real fancy up in here.
All right. Well, have a fantastic week, guys.
Bye.